corner. Could that someone be Mac the Knife? There's a tugboat down by the river, don't you know, where a cement bag just drooping on down. Oh, that cement is just, it's there for the weight, dear. Five will get you 10, old Mackey's back in town. Not to hear about Louis Miller, he disappeared, babe, after drawing out all his hard-earned cash. And now Maggie spins just like a sailor. Could it be our boy's done something rash? Not any diver.
Ho, ho.
Yes, Suki Tawdry. Woo, Miss Lottie Lenya. And old Lucy Brown. Now that Maggie's back in town. I said, Jenny Diver, whoa, Suki Tawdry, look out to Miss Lottie Lenya and old Lucy Brown. Yes, that line forms on the right, babe. Now that Maggie back in town. Look out, old Mac is back.
This is Frank Sinatra Jr. speaking. You are listening to one of the few places on radio where you can hear the treasure of the American popular song and the international popular song, Anything Goes with Lee Savory.
And we are here, and we're about to speak with somebody that I've been wanting to talk to for quite some time. Now, Ted Chapin, he has been the president and chief executive officer of the Rodgers and Hammerstein Organization for quite some time. And I was just saying to him off the mic that of all the things I thought we were going to talk about when we finally got a chance to speak, I didn't think it was going to be Bobby Darin. But I digress. During Chapin's tenure at the Rodgers and Hammerstein Organization, he's overseen major productions that you guys have all enjoyed on Broadway, including 7 Tony Awards for Best Revival in London and around the world. He's encouraged newly created shows, including the recent Holiday Inn, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, State Fair, and Irving Berlin's White Christmas. He's also the co-founder of the Encore series at City Center. I know. You guys, I know. I can't believe he hasn't been on Anything Goes. He's now sharing his talents with us as producer of the Lyrics and Lyricist series at the 92nd Street Y. And I'm so pleased we get to welcome.
I'm thrilled to be here.
There you are, Ted Chapin, potting you up. We, on behalf of the entire Anything Goes audience, we'd like to thank you for what you do.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been a great life. What can I say? I said to someone the other day, gosh, I wonder what I'm going to do when I grow up, because I feel like a teenager, excited by everything that I can possibly do. And it's just if that's what you have to feel if you're going to be in any part of this business.
Oh, well, that's fascinating. I have to tell you, I don't know if he emailed you or not, but we have had a mutual friend for quite some time.
Who's that?
Bert Fink.
Oh, Bert.
And he told me years ago, he is the nicest guy about you. About you. And I believe that Bert doesn't misspeak.
No, he does not. I miss him dearly. He moved to London to set up our London office and then was stolen away by one of our competitors. So he's having a happy life in London, but I miss him on a daily basis.
I'm sure you do, as Spencer Tracy would say, competitor.
Well, but Bert and I did some amazing things. I mean, he talked his way into the job. And I always like to tell people, you never can tell how it's going to work, but he knew that we needed PR for Rodgers and Hammerstein, but he also had enough conversations with me about other ideas of interesting, celebrations and things to do. And he said, come, I want to work for you. I can do with the PR, but more importantly, those ideas you have, you don't have the time to do them by yourself. I want to do them with you. So we did centennials, anniversaries, openings. We had a great, great run.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me. Because when we were kids, Bert wrote a letter to Stephen Sondheim, which still amazes me. And, of course, Mr. Sondheim very kindly answered him, which was pretty flabbergasting when we were in college.
Well, I have the letter that I wrote to Stephen Sondheim. The difference, perhaps, between the letter that Bert would write and I would write is that I wrote a letter because I'd met a guy in college who was a big Sondheim fan, and this was many years ago before the world was, and he wanted a copy of Anyone Can Whistle, the published script. So I asked Steve if it wasn't inconvenient, could he tell me how I could get a copy of it? And he very generously sent a copy signed to my friend with a letter that says, you know, here's a copy of it if you want to come talk to me at some point. And don't worry, I won't tell your parents you don't know how to spell inconvenience.
I hope you have that framed.
I don't have it framed, but I know exactly where it is.
Chastised. Well,
you know. Yeah, but that's Sondheim. I mean, Sondheim is a perfectionist, and you can tell from his lyrics. You know, he doesn't waste a word or a comma. And it's very, you know, having had the wonderful experience being a gopher on Follies, I was very aware of the fact that when I would be handed a song to type for the cast, for the script, you know, the periods had to be in the right place and the capitals, and you know, it had to be accurate.
Yeah, he's a man who respects the English language.
Mm-hmm. That he does.
As I mentioned to the audience, it amazes me that I'm speaking to you about Bobby Darin. Okay, because since I've known about you through Bert for all this time, the fact is that, you know, I always figured we'd talk about Rodgers and Hammerstein, and I'd be queuing up all kinds of flower drum song and South Pacific, and yeah.
There's a time for everything.
I guess, there you go, another song cue. So, but I've been researching you, and you are, your family lineage is also fascinating. I mean, I could talk to you about all these different subjects. We're going to have to do Ted Chapin the series.
Well, it would be my honor. No, I mean, I was so lucky to grow up in New York with a father who was enough in the business that there were a lot of opportunities presented to my brothers and me, concerts and, you know, operas. And we had a friend who was the press person at the Metropolitan Opera, and I'm old enough to have been to the old Met. Mm. And, you know, he gave us a box for a Saturday matinee of Tales of Hoffman. You know, so that's, and Tales of Hoffman is a wonderful musical, and that's part of, you know, part of why I think I ended up going towards the musical theater. My father was also at Columbia Records, and they made cast albums in the 60s. So, no, and nothing was ever pushed on us. I mean, I have to say, I give my parents great credit for basically, here's what I'm doing. You know, come join us if you want. You know, and as a result, three of the four of us are involved in some way with the arts, or have been. And my twin brother is a civil engineer. So he's the one who took a look at all that showbiz and said, I don't think so, but I tell you, he can sing you the score of Bravo Giovanni.
It's like your brother's the black sheep. That's very funny.
Right.
That's very, very funny. But were you named after your grandfather?
I was indeed.
Theodore Steinway.
That's my middle name. But I have that.
Is that your middle name?
Yep. I named directly after him, and he is my mother. Of course, the name of the company always has been Steinway and Sons. And my mother was Elizabeth Steinway, and she asked her father for a job and was told to look at the door and what the name of the company was. And it's a different time, but, you know, it's kind of interesting.
But that's like the famous fish store on the Lower East Side, Russ and Daughters.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
A different belief system. That's fascinating. That's fascinating.
Yeah. No, my twin brother and I are the only members of our generation at that time who had worked at the Steinway factory out in Queens during different summers. So it was kind of fascinating. It was sold, you know, in the 70s. So the family doesn't own it anymore, but it's still going. I mean, give them credit. It's one of the only companies that are building pianos in America these days, and it's within the city of New York. So no wonder they cost what they cost.
Absolutely. And you are tuned into Anything Goes. I'm Lise Avery. We are speaking with Ted Chapin, the president and chief creative officer of the Rodgers and Hammerstein Organization, and the new producer of the entire Lyrics and Lyricists. Let me try that again. I'm a professional Lyrics and Lyricist series at the 92nd Street Y. And you began a little while ago with the 92nd Street Y producing some shows, but now the whole kit and caboodle, right?
Yes, I was asked to do one of the programs by Deborah Grace Weiner, who ran it for a number of years, and it was good enough that I was asked to do a couple more, and the conversation ensued with Hanna Ari Geishman, who's in charge of the whole thing. And last year we were having conversations about a lot of different things. And quite to my surprise, she asked me if I would take over the series. And she reminded me the other day that it took me a day to email her and say I'm intrigued, because I was intrigued. And so when I took over, it was announced in June, I did say to them at the Y, let's pull together the season, let's announce it all at once. Because with all due respect to who I am, you know, I think maybe there are things we could put together that would be attractive to people. So the first thing, I mean, I had this idea about Bobby Darin because, you know, even though it's called Lyrics and Lyricist, it has broadened to a series that examines the American songbook in any number of interesting ways, never losing the fact that it was, you know, it was started around lyrics and lyricists. And Bobby Darin, it became a fascination. There's actually a musical in Australia about his life, and I saw it a year or so ago. Uh-huh. And there's a lot about his life I didn't know. And among other things, he wrote 160 songs.
Mm-hmm. In a trailer.
Yeah, and some of them were his hits. So I figured, you know, even though he is known primarily as a singer, to justify, you know, examining him at lyrics and lyricist, the fact that, you know, a lot of the songs that we're presenting were written by him. So that's kind of fun. And when Jonathan Groff said he was interested in it, it's like, okay, what's a bad idea in here, please? I mean, he is so dedicated to this, and he has worked so hard, and he is so generous. And I mean, it's interesting listening to Bobby Darin sing Mac the Knife before we went on the air. You know, Jonathan Groff has, how do I say this properly? I think he will embody the essence of what Bobby Darin was performing that song when he performs it as part of the Lyrics and Lyricists series.
Wow. We look forward to it, and I just want folks to know that if they would like more information about the Lyrics and Lyricists series at the 92nd Street Y, you guys know where to go. I mean, I think my audience is so very familiar, and they are your peeps, I guess I would say, in so many different ways.
Well,
Tate Chapin.
Come on, because the rest of the season I'm excited about. One of the things I did, I remember going to one of the very, very early presentations where it was Stephen Sondheim talking about writing lyrics. So I thought to myself, at the same time that I thought, let's examine Bobby Darin, I thought, let's find a lyricist, a bona fide living lyricist, and have an evening with her. And Lynn Ahrens is doing it in May. And you know, she has two shows running on Broadway. She has a total of six shows that she has written for Broadway. She's been at it for a long time. And she has a loyal following, but I said, let's put her up on stage and ask the questions that were asked of, you know, Yip Harburg and Sheldon Harnick and Fred Ebb, you know, when this series started. So we're having fun, and, you know, obviously invite first-rate artists to perform the songs. I hope she'll perform some as well, but it's, you know, that's part of the fun of being the producer, doing that, looking at Irving Berlin and Leonard Bernstein and Frank Lesser in interesting new ways, along with Bobby Darin and Lynn Ahrens.
All right. Well, do you have time for us to play another Bobby Darin tune, Ted Chapin? And we'll get back to telling everybody else about some of the other shows that are coming up at the 92nd Street Y. Is that, you got time for us?
I'm yours.
Oh, baby. I've heard that before. And you guys, if you want more information about all of these shows, including the Bobby Darin show, which is coming up on this weekend, Saturday, January 20th, Sunday, January 21st, and Monday, January 22nd, which is kind of cool. We're going to be giving away a pair of tickets for the Sunday night performance at 7 p.m. We have only one, so you're going to need to have very fast flying fingers, or you can need to head to 92y.org for more information. And speaking of songs that were written by Bobby Darin, I've got Splish Splash queued up. You have anything to say about on that subject?
Well, when we started to talk about Bobby Darin, we realized you can't do an evening of Bobby Darin without Beyond the Sea, Mac the Knife, Splish Splash, and Dream Lover. So anybody who comes to see this will hear those four songs, along with a lot of others.
Okay, fair enough. And we'll be back with more from Ted Chapin after we hear from Bobby Darin here on Anything Goes.
Splish splash, I was taking a bath long about a Saturday night. Yeah. Rubbed up, just relaxing in the tub, thinking
everything was all right. Well, I stepped out the tub and put my feet on the floor. I wrapped the towel around me and I opened the door. And in a splish splash, I jumped back in the bath. Well, how was I to know there was a party going on? There was a splishing and a splash, reeling with the feeling, moving and a grooving, rocking and a rolling. I saw the whole gang dancing on my living room rug. Yeah, flip-flop, they was doing the bop. All the teens had the dancing bug. There was Lollipop with a Peggy Sue. Good golly, Miss Molly was a even there too. A willer, splish splash, I forgot about the bath. I went and put my dancing shoes on. Yeah, I was a rolling and a strolling, dealing with the feel, moving and a grooving, splishing and a
Hi, this is Watson, and when I am not competing against Ken Jennings and Brad Rutter on Jeopardy, I'm gathering more knowledge by listening to Anything Goes with Lise Avery.
And we are gathering lots of knowledge, hanging out with Ted Chapin, and learning more about this season's Lyrics and Lyricists presentations at the 92nd Street Y, 92y.org is where you want to go for more information. You still there, Ted? You still with us?
I am still here.
Very cool.
Listening to Splish Splash.
That song is I mean, I talk to my audience and I talk about the songs that evoke chair dancing here in the air chair.
Right.
So that's definitely one of them.
Well, we went into rehearsal on Friday, and what I think is fair to say is that, you know, everybody in the company, because we have four other extraordinarily talented performers, it's one of those things where you leave and you think, I had that song stuck in my head. I had that song. But, of course, part of the interesting and challenges to doing an evening about Bobby Darin is how do you tell his story through his songs that don't necessarily tell his life story. Splish Splash was a song he wrote almost on a dare, in 15 minutes. Oh. And it was his biggest hit.
Uh-huh.
If you start there, and then he sang Mac the Knife, how do we make a connection between Splish Splash and Mac the Knife? And then he wrote 18 Yellow Roses, which is like a country song.
Mm-hmm.
And blues songs and introspective songs, and it's been quite a challenge to figure out how to put it together. But I have, and this will sound like hyperbole, and it is in no way accurate that way. But the group that's putting this together is one of the most extraordinary groups of artists I've ever had the pleasure of working with. Alex
Oof.
Timbers directing it. Two musical directors, Andy Einhorn and Andrew Resnick, and Chase Brock doing musical staging, and then and the cast. It's Elena Shadow, Stephanie Stiles, David Pitu, and George Salazar, in addition to the great Jonathan Groff.
Well remembered, Ted Chapin.
Yeah, well, I was with them all day. Can I say?
Okay.
We got through the second act.
Well, so now it is my understanding that this Bobby Darin show is in fact the best selling Lyrics and Lyricists show in 92nd Street Y history. Is that true?
That's what I've been told. That's what I've been told.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I just want to make certain that the people who want to see it can get in.
Right. Well, that's why I was going to suggest that we also talk about some of the other shows that
exactly.
are coming up, just in case. So I see, and We will run out of time, unfortunately. As I said, we need to do Ted Chapin the series here on Anything Goes. We've got Lenny's Lyricists coming up. With
our nod to the Leonard Bernstein Centennial, examining the various lyricists who worked with him, including, I hope, a couple of songs that he wrote the lyrics to himself. He was not a stellar lyricist, but I worked on a show where he wrote a song, a production of Candide. So I hope we'll get a little bit of Lenny's lyrics in there as well.
With the remarkable Rob Fisher
right.
and Amanda Green. You get the best people, Ted Chapin.
We try. What can I tell you? It's part of, I mean, that's what producing is. What anybody tells you, it's like get the right people together and give them encouragement and set them on their way. That's what it's about. Irving Berlin, and we've titled the Irving Berlin one, Irving Berlin, colon, American, because his story is the quintessential American immigrant story.
Yes.
But let's look at it with a little bit of an eye to what's going on today. Again, not politically, but just, you know, he did not speak English when he arrived, and look at English language lyrics that he gave us, you know, all alone by the telephone. He was kind of brilliant. So there's that, then there's Lynn Ahrens, and then the final one is Frank Lesser, because David Loud, who's done wonderful lyrics and lyricist programs in the past, pulled out a piece of sheet music written by Frank Lesser that's called Why Do I Always Get the Neck of the Chicken? A song I will confess I had never heard of.
Me neither.
And he said when Frank Lesser was in Hollywood, before he came east and wrote those musicals we all know, he wrote lyrics mostly without writing music, and wrote the most extraordinary collection of peculiar songs. So I want to examine those as well as the well-known and much-loved Frank Lesser song. So
that sounds fabulous.
That's a variety, I think.
You know, I'm going to just say it again. Ted Chapin, it is a real delight to have the chance to speak to you. I'm very sorry it's never happened up until now, but I'm hoping that is going to happen again.
I'm easy, I say. I love doing this. And also, frankly, you know, I'm so aware of how important radio is to the musical theater these days, especially with programs like yours that just, you know, I don't think they